You're listening to a Bucks Plus audio production on the Bucks Plus Network.
The biggest voices in the locker room, in the front office, and in the NBA.
Our guest is one of Milwaukee's favorite sons, Darvin Ham.
Giannis has some years still where his jump shot is going to get more consistent, get better. The free throw shooting is going to get better.
This is Courtside with Gail Klappa.
Our guest is the head of the herd, the head coach of the Bucks, Doc Rivers.
Well, you can see people buying in, and it takes a buy-in from your entire team.
Your all-access pass to Milwaukee's team.
Here in Milwaukee, we call him the people's mayor. Our guest, Bucks forward, Bobby Portis.
A hard worker, blue-collar guy, so blue-collar guy in a blue-collar city.
Now, here's your host, Gail Klappa.
Hello, everyone. I'm Gail Klappa, and this is Courtside. It's been a long and winding road. 82 games of highs and lows. Now the second season begins. And yes, it is like deja vu all over again. In a replay of last year, the Bucks open up round one against a familiar foe from the Central Division, the Indiana Pacers. This time, the Pacers have home court advantage. But this time, Giannis is healthy and ready to rumble. Tonight, on this special edition of Courtside, we sit down with a guy who's fully invested in the success of the Bucks. Our guest is one of the most accomplished business leaders in America and a majority owner of the Bucks, Jimmy Haslam. Jimmy, always great to sit down with you. Thanks for visiting with us.
Gail, thanks for having us on.
Well, Jimmy, I'm sure you're encouraged by the way the Bucks finished off the regular season, racking up 8 wins in a row to lock down the 5th seed in the East. But, Jimmy, are you surprised at how well the team played with Damian Lillard out of action?
You know, it was interesting because right before we won 8 in a row, I think we lost 4 or 5 in a row and just weren't playing well at all. And Bobby was still out and Dame was out and the team rallied together. Giannis was phenomenal. And I think Doc did a good job of pulling the guys together. Some of our young guys like Ryan and AJ stepped up. So, yes, it was good to see. And our hope is that it'll lead us into the playoffs stronger since we were able to play, or forced to play, I guess, a lot more people than we normally would.
Yep, amen. Well, Jimmy, as you know, with Dame out, the coaching staff turned Giannis basically into a point guard, and he seemed, at least from our observation, to relish the role.
I think it just shows what a phenomenal athlete Giannis is, and the way he can handle the ball and see open people, and as you say, fashion as a point forward, if you will. He was not only functioning at it, he was really good at it. And hopefully we'll get Dame back before too long and Giannis can keep helping there, but also score the points like he always does. But he's literally a generational talent.
I mean, overall, Jimmy, you know, when you step back and look at the season, as you mentioned, the Bucks have really faced a ton of adversity. But you've been around pro sports a long time and wonder about your thought on this. It seems like working through the hard times may actually benefit the team in the playoffs. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I hope so. I think we alluded to that earlier. I mean, it's been a hard year. You know, Chris was slow to come back from the injury. Giannis had the bumps he always gets because of how hard he plays and how athletic his game is. You know, Dame's in and out of the lineup, then Dame goes out for an extended period of time. We still don't know when he's coming out, and then Bobby gets suspended. But I think the guys have really rallied well, and I'm hoping, you know, we really get – it was so nice to win on Friday, Gail, where we didn't have to sweat out Sunday.
Yeah.
So the guys really are going to have 8 days off before we play Saturday at 1 in Indy, and it's really important we win one of those 2 games there for all the obvious reasons, and then you even up the home court advantage. But I think this should be a heck of a series. Hopefully all the tough stuff, if you will, that you mentioned will make us a better team for the long run.
And, Jimmy, as you mentioned, no set timetable yet for Dame to return as he works with the medical staff to dissolve that blood clot in his calf. What's your sense? When do you think we'll get another update on Dame's status?
You know, this is a hard one. If it were a sprained ankle, Gail, we'd all just say, hey, grind through it, gut through it, and everything will be good. But you're talking about a blood clot, which could be life-threatening, so the medical staff's going to be immensely cautious and conservative here, and rightly so. And so is he getting closer? Yes. But could it still be a while before he plays? Yes, it is.
It sure does sound, though, like he is making solid progress.
It is, but, you know, when you have a blood clot, you can't you can't really practice. He can do some conditioning because they don't want you having any contact. So it'll probably be a while before he can actually physically play. But we'll see. It's heading in the right direction. But I just can't stress enough how important it is we be really careful with this.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Jimmy, one of the big turning points of the season was the trade that sent longtime Buck star Chris Middleton to Washington in return for Kyle Kuzma. Just curious, what factors went through your mind when General Manager John Horst brought the deal to the ownership group for approval?
Yeah, we had some, you know, those are tough trades because, and it was really harder on John and Wes than it was on me because they had so much more history with Chris. But Chris was one of the cornerstones, as you know, of our championship run and is a great player. And he's also a really smart player. And so to make that trade was not easy. There was a lot of emotions that went around it. John said when he called Chris to tell him, it's one of the toughest calls he's ever had to make, and I believe that. But we felt there was a need for the team to get a little younger, a little quicker, a little longer. And I think Kyle has stepped in and done a great job for us. But I can't overstate how important Chris Middleton's been to this franchise during his time period with the Bucks, and we certainly wish he and his family well going forward.
And as you know, Jimmy, Chris, a really great human being.
Oh, great human being. That's what I say. That's what great human being, great player, smart player, all that makes it really hard.
And John Horst, of course, made two other moves at the trade deadline for players that have come in and really made an impact for the Bucks. Your thoughts, Jimmy, on Kevin Porter Jr. and Jericho Sims?
Yeah, let's start with Kevin. You know, at the time, I don't think we knew that Dame was going to be off, but Kevin really saved us there. He stepped in and had heavy minutes, assisted with handling the ball, assisted with scoring, and I think could be a real find for us. You know, now we'll find out about everybody in the playoffs and how they perform in that environment, but really optimistic about what Kevin can do. And I thought the big kid from the Knicks that did a nice job, unfortunately he tore a ligament in his thumb, but I think he showed us he can play defense, he can rebound, he adds a different dimension to us. We'll see who all Doc plays in the playoffs, but I think John should get credit for bringing in three quality players who definitely helped us down the stretch.
Jimmy, as you know, there's a budding rivalry between the Bucks and the Pacers. But this time, the playoff round is over. I'm guessing the two teams will have faced each other at least 19 times in the past 18 months. So I can imagine we'll see a little more sizzle in these upcoming games.
Yeah, I mean, you've watched as many or more playoff games as we have, Gail, but there's no doubt the intensity goes up. These teams know each other well. We're going to have to get back on defense because I think they get the ball across the half-court line as fast as anybody in the NBA. They're young, they're quick, they space well. Halliburton, you know, killed us in that last game. Now, whether he went out of bounds before he got that ball or not, I don't know. But, you know, he's on the Olympic team. He's a really good young player, so they're well coached. So we're going to have to be ready to play to get four games won and advance to the next round.
And the Pacers have another star, Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, the kid they picked up from Toronto last year, mid-year.
Yeah.
He's really a good player, and he's actually, in some ways, played better than Halliburton has this year, and so he'll be another tough task for us. So we got our work cut out for us. I think the guys know it. I think Doc knows it, and we've got to figure out a way to get four wins, including at least one on the road.
Amen. Well, speaking of Doc, on the Bucks sideline, we have one of the most successful coaches, literally, in the history of the NBA. Jimmy, as you look back over the season, what stands out to you about the job Doc Rivers has done?
Well, I think you've alluded to it several times, Gail. We've had just a significant amount of adversity, strange stuff. You know, Dame gets a blood clot, body gets suspended from PED. And I think Doc has kept the guys together, and I think he's kept them playing hard. And that's really a coach's job. A coach can't control injuries or anything like that. But they can control how well the kids play together and how hard they play. And the fact that we finished strong, I think, says a lot for the job Doc has done.
And he has put together, Jimmy, as you know, a tremendous and really experienced coaching staff.
He really has. We've got a lot of, you've got Darvin Ham and several other guys over there who have been head coaches. And so there's a lot of experience there. And hopefully that'll come in handy and help us. Rick Carlisle does a great job with the Pacers. So we're going to have to be ready, but hopefully we can outplay them and outcoach them.
And Jimmy, over the course of the season, we've seen really tremendous growth from two of the younger Bucks, A.J. Green and Ryan Rollins.
Yeah, yeah. You know, this is AJ's third year, is that right, Gail, with us? And it's been fun to watch him grow. I think he was undrafted out of Northern Iowa, if I remember. And AJ can shoot. And there's value for players in the NBA who can shoot. And he's got the shooter's mentality. If you miss, you just have to keep shooting. He's mentally tough. But he really has played well the back half of the year. Had a little slump a few games ago, but has really played well. And then Ryan, you know, was a G League player on one of those two-way contracts that we converted at the end of the year. But he's really played well, both in Dane's absence as our point guard and just in general. So really one of the fun things about sports is to watch your young guys develop. And it's been fun to watch both of them develop.
And, Jimmy, we were going over some statistics this morning. And it turns out, as you look across the NBA, the Bucks have the highest three-point scoring percentage of any team in the league.
Right. And that's impressive.
And two other players John Horst picked up in the offseason, Taurean Prince and Gary Trent Jr., have really made a difference from the three-point line.
No question. And listen, the NBA's all about hitting threes now. That's one of the great things the Pacers do. So we've got to get with it if we're going to beat those guys.
Jimmy, off the court, we were all very saddened by the sudden passing of Junior Bridgman, a former Bucks player, of course, and a hugely successful businessman. Junior joined the ownership group just a few months before his death. Tell our listeners, if you will, about your relationship with Junior Bridgman.
Yeah, it's funny. I had remembered Junior when he was a player, both at Louisville and with the Bucks, and because we're the exact same age. And then a mutual friend of ours from Louisville called me and said, "Hey, Junior Bridgman would like to buy into the Bucks. Is there any way to make that happen?" And we had some minority shareholders who'd been in for a long time and wanted to get out. And so Junior and this friend of mine from Louisville, Paul Tricani, came down to watch the Browns practice. I remember it was a cold afternoon in November. And so we started establishing a relationship. I think we had dinner that night. A couple months later, he came over to Charlotte and watched the Bucks play the Hornets. And we just slowly, and then he and Wes and I spent some time together. And, you know, he's really a true American success story. I think he made $3.5 million playing basketball. And at his death, was one of the wealthiest people in the country. And so he made his money first is in the Wendy's hamburger franchise business, and then with Coca-Cola distributorships. And he was a great athlete, an even better businessman, quite frankly, a great family guy. He and his wife, Doris, I think had been married close to 50 years, three kids, a bunch of grandchildren. And he also was very good about giving back. I went to his memorial service at Louisville, and it was amazing how everybody talked about everything he did for the community. Incredibly generous man, a person of strong faith. And there was a great article in the Louisville paper that said, he's the one guy that never let us down, and I think that says all you need to say about Junior, but we will miss him. He's truly a great man, and I wish I had spent more time with him before his untimely death.
Jimmy, there's a funny story that made its rounds shortly after Junior's unfortunate passing. Marcus Johnson, star with the Bucks, played during the same years as Junior Bridgman.
Right.
Apparently, Junior offered Marcus an opportunity to invest with him in the first Wendy's that Junior invested in, and the story goes that Marcus said, "Look, nobody's going to buy square hamburgers, Jimmy."
I heard that story. I heard that story. If you know anything about the hamburger business, we used to run a bunch of Wendy's and we had Pilot. It's a tough grind it out. It's not a pretty boys business. You've got to work hard. You've got to be in there with your teams. And that's the kind of guy Junior was.
Well, switching gears, what was your reaction to the $6+ billion price tag on the sale of the Boston Celtics?
Yeah, good question. I would say this, Gail. If somebody, and I think I can speak for our partners in this, somebody sells their house in your neighborhood and maybe they have a little nicer house than you and it goes for a lot more than you thought, you feel good. But unless you're planning on moving, it doesn't really matter. And we're not planning on moving or selling. So it was nice to see. It's reassuring. But, you know, we've got to make sure that we keep the Bucks with a super competitive team and try to win another championship here in Milwaukee like we did in 21.
You've probably already just answered this question, but do you think there's any read-through to the value of the Bucks franchise?
You know, probably. What is it? My dad says this all the time, a rising tide lifts all boats. So there's probably some. But I'll be honest, we don't really worry about it that much because, you know, we're planning on owning the franchise for a long time. We feel fortunate to be in this position. Wes, Jamie Dimon, Mike Fascelli, and I all get along very well personally. So we're excited to see what we can do. First of all, like I saw where Giannis said, they said, what about the finals? He said, first thing we got to do is win four games and advance the next round. That's what we all need to be focused on.
Yeah, amen. Well, as you know, Jimmy, news broke recently that the NBA is seriously considering creating the NBA Europe. What's your take on that development?
I think it's a great, great development. And I was at a conference last week, and Adam Silver happened to be there, and we had lunch together and spent some time visiting over it. And, you know, basketball truly is a worldwide game, and we're involved in the NFL, and it's hard to duplicate football. You know, it takes pads, it's expensive. It's really only played in North America, and we're starting to play games in Europe, but basketball is a worldwide game. And you've seen the influx of talent. I mean, I think in the last two drafts, the number one pick was a French individual, if I'm right about that. And I think one-third of the players in the NFL now were born outside the U.S. So I think it's a great idea. We would have 10 to 14 teams, I think, start playing in 2 to 3 years. So I think it hopefully will create more interest in basketball worldwide. And everybody wants to play in the best league in the world, and the best basketball league in the world is the NBA.
Makes sense. And finally, Jimmy, back home. An exciting time as we head into the playoffs. What final words of wisdom would you like to share with Bucks fans everywhere?
This is not a word of wisdom, but it's really important. So we're going to play the first two games in Indianapolis. We've traditionally played well there, knock on wood. But whether we win two there, lose two, or split, we need that Fiserv Arena to be rocking whenever we come back here. I think it'll probably be next Thursday night if I had to bet. Whenever we come back home, we need it to be rocking. We need to have a huge crowd there giving us a home court advantage because this is going to be a difficult series, and we need every possible advantage we can get. So, Bucks fans, we need you.
And I guarantee you they'll be there. Jimmy, thanks so much for your time. Always great fun to sit down and get your insights. We appreciate you sitting down with us very much, and you've been listening to Courtside on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Subscribe today on Bucks.com, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts. So long, everybody.